Mr. Stephen, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, you are the MD of First Assurance, one of the oldest insurance companies here in Kenya. Tell me how the company has evolved over the past 100 years.
Yeah, indeed. I am the MD of First Assurance. This is a pretty old company, by Kenyan standards, I would say. This company started in the early 30s as part of a British multinational. We started out as a part of Prudential, UK. Then there was a push to have insurance companies owned by locals around the 80s and the 90s. So local Kenyans took over the company. And that is what gave birth to First Assurance. So we rebranded to First Assurance in the early 90s, and we have operated under that brand ever since. In 2015, Barclays Bank at that time acquired First Assurance. Of course, you know that Barclays later on changed to Absa Bank.
Yes.
So from 2015 onwards, we have been a subsidiary of Absa Bank, and we have continued to operate as part of that group.
Okay, and do you focus on retail customer or the corporate customer?
Yeah, so First Assurance, first of all, we deal with short-term insurance, which is it's also called general insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that just means that we do not do any life insurance.
Okay.
So we focus on short-term insurance, and we provide products across a wide spectrum. So we have got retail customers, we have got corporate customers, and everything else in between. Yeah, so we have got, we've got diverse products.
Yeah.
It cuts across all the segments of the market.
Like auto, health, but not like whole term life insurance.
Yes, so we have what we call a full range of short term products, which then includes retail products that are targeted at individuals.
Okay.
And this we mean people who buy insurance in their individual capacity. For example, yourself, if you buy a private insurance, private car insurance from us, that is retail insurance. Then we have got products that we target at the corporate sector. So that means companies can buy insurance from us for their assets, to cover their employees, across assets, employee benefits, and health insurance as well. Yeah, so basically, across that spectrum, yes.
Okay, interesting. And are you underwriting these products yourself, or do you have a partner that you work with?
Yeah, so the structure of an insurance company is that you design products based on the needs of your customers, and you are the primary carrier of that risk.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say you are the primary carrier of the risk, it means that your customers know you as the partner that they have transferred the risk to. So these products are actually our products, and we design these products based on the needs of the customers, each unique market. We have products for each of those markets, and these are our products. However, in some cases, we have got customers who have got very unique requirements, and that is when we come up with tailor-made products or specially designed products of our standard products. We now structure it specifically for that customer. And a customer can even come to us and request for a unique cover based on his or her own circumstances. And we can actually structure a cover to respond to that specific need. We also have partners that we work with. And I know that you will possibly want me to go deeper into that later. We have reinsurance companies that we also work with. So in a few cases, we have got products that we design in conjunction with our insurers to respond to some specialized needs in the market.
Okay. And the distribution of insurance products,
yeah.
You know, one of the biggest issues, I guess, over the years, not only here in Kenya, but across much of the globe has been you know, breaking insurance penetration, increasing that number. You know, globally, I still believe that's below almost 10%.
Yeah.
So how do you distribute your products in a market where insurance penetration is relatively low?
Yeah. So first I'll speak about how we distribute our product. So First Assurance does have partners in the form of brokers. So we have insurance brokers in this market who are licensed by the regulator. So these brokers are professionals in their own right. So we distribute most of our complex products, though we also distribute the simple retail products through brokers. We also have another set of intermediaries called agents. The agents are our own agents. We do take responsibility for the actions of our agents and how they sell and distribute our products to the public. So the difference then between a broker and an agent is that the broker is a professional who is responsible for his actions, and they represent the customers that they bring to us. Our agents on the other side represent us. So we take responsibility for how they interact with customers, how they sell our products. Okay. So those are the key channels that we use to sell products. But we have also a new entrant in the market, not very new. The banks, as you know, mm-hmm. have got a large client base. And over the last couple of years, banks have become more active in distribution of products as well. So the banks now are also licensed to sell insurance products. So you will find most of the leading banks, and our own related entity, Absa Bank, has a bank assurance intermediary. So that intermediary is meant now to give access to insurance products to customers at the bank, either for their financed, you know, for their financed assets, or for their other general insurance needs. So bank assurance now also plays a big role in the distribution of our products. Then we also have our own offices, our own branches. So we have got customers who would like to deal with an insurance company on a direct basis.
Yeah.
That is why we have got our head office here with a front office that attempts to walk in customers. So across the country, we have got branches in most of the major cities. We have in Mombasa, Nakuru, mm-hmm. Kisumu, Eldoret, and we have an additional office in Nairobi as well in the Central Business District. These caters for those customers who want to walk in and buy insurance for us. So those are the traditional channels. Yes. But over time, we have also been embracing technology in insurance. And now we are going into e-commerce as insurance companies. So we've got an interactive website now. You can actually go into our website and check out our products, and you can actually send in a proposal, you know, via e-commerce now. So you can actually send a request for a quotation by visiting our website, checking through some of the products we have, getting yourself a quotation. And so that means that we have actually been diversified, and it is at a nascent stage. We're still developing. We're actually coming up with applications which will even help our customers buy more easily, online. So that's a capability that we are developing, and that will broaden the channels that we can use to distribute our products.
So it's really up to the customer which channel they want to pursue through. I'm sure they can go to your website and get a quote.
Exactly.
I'm sure there's a phone number there they can call and talk with someone. And I think, you know, the branches thing is incredibly mm-hmm. important because, you know, as you can tell, I'm an American. We do a lot of things online.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, while I was living in the U.S., I had car insurance. I never spoke to a single agent or anything. I downloaded an app, took pictures of my documents, took pictures of my car. Even when I had an accident, never spoke to someone. It was just...
Yeah, so obviously, as a market, we're still trying to catch up with the first world on some of these things. But I think the benefit that we have now mm-hmm. is that we have markets to learn from. So we can actually accelerate the learning process and make sure that we avail all these technologically based distribution. You did ask a question about insurance penetration.
So yeah, how do we further that?
Exactly. So average penetration globally is possibly, I don't think it's above 10%, possibly about 7% thereabouts. In Africa itself, it's slightly above 3%. In Kenya, we are at 2.3%. It is dismal. It is low, and it's not ideal for an economy like ours. The ideal position is to have a penetration of 3% and above. So there are a myriad of reasons why this penetration is low. But I think the most critical one is financial literacy. The bigger part of our population and the public do not understand insurance well enough. It's not by design, because when we look at the channels that we have used to pass on information or education about financial services and insurance, they have been inadequate. Yeah. Our education system, it doesn't talk much about insurance. So risk transfer is also viewed even in higher levels of education as complex financial solutions. But there is a lot that we can do as an industry to improve that. And one of the biggest things that we can do as a market is really to foster education of the public on the importance of insurance. And we can do that by simply breaking down insurance into a more simplified form, explaining in a simpler manner the risk transfer mechanism that insurance affords to the public. Mm-hmm. So education is key, and I think the regulator has actually been at the forefront in carrying on some of this education of the public, but we have a lot to do as the insurance sector in educating the public about insurance products, why it is important for them, and how they can actually get these products from us as insurance companies.
Yeah, and I really like that term you've used, risk transfer.
Yes.
I think, I haven't heard many people in the insurance industry describe it in that direct way. And I think that's a very interesting aspect to bring about, as in, disasters happen, bad things happen, health emergencies happen. And while, in the short run, that will be extremely stressful and hard to deal with, the financial risk largely you guys take on.
Absolutely.
For the person. And I think that's a really good way to sell it. And you said, your role is to help teach people more about these insurance products. And I know, us as a media company, it's also our role to teach people about, what you use insurance for, why may it be necessary in particular circumstances and such.
Indeed. And you've put it well. Many a times we struggle to sell insurance at retail level.
Mm-hmm.
And you will understand that our Kenyan society has a very robust social insurance setup where neighbors look out for each other, community members look out for each other.
Yeah.
So when it gets now to distributing insurance, we always get this feedback that, I don't believe in insurance, or I don't have enough trust in insurance. But in the simplest form, insurance really is, as you said, a risk transfer mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as an individual or as a family or as a business, risk is too expensive. And the happening of an unfortunate event is enough either to crush a family completely,
yeah,
or an individual, or set you back so far that as a person or as a business, it would take you so long to recover. But this transfer mechanism that insurance accords to the public or individuals or businesses is a sound risk management tool, because you are simply transferring that risk to an insurance company,
yeah,
that can actually afford to take on that risk. So it is one of those risk management tools. It also gives you peace of mind that as an individual or as a family or as a business, you are then able to focus on other things that are important to you, knowing that your risks having been transferred to an insurance company, you don't have to worry about those now. You focus on the things that you need to focus on. This insurance company then focuses on carrying your risk.
Okay, and if you're speaking to someone who's never had insurance before,
yes,
how do you sell them on insurance? I think I've done many interviews over the years, and I've always asked this question when speaking to people in the insurance space, because I've never heard like an amazing answer. It's a very challenging thing to do. So I'm curious, kind of, what is your, you know, sales pitch and such on getting someone to become interested and acquire insurance if they've never ever had it before?
Yeah, so I think it's not an easy one, but in simple terms, I think I always want to revert back to that risk transfer process. Yeah. And that, you see, our assets, our families, our businesses are worth a lot to us. Mm-hmm. We spend lifetimes building our careers, businesses and families.
And they can go quickly.
And it can go quickly. Yet when you look at the cost of transferring that risk or the cost of taking insurance, it's such a tiny bit compared to the value of those assets. So from where I sit, and from an insurer's perspective, it really makes so much sense, because the cost of protecting all those things that mean a lot to us is so small that it doesn't make any sense to retain that risk. So insurance then becomes one of those really basic necessities for an individual and a family or a business.
Okay. Now, I'm really interested in what makes First Assurance stand out above all the other insurance companies. So what makes First Assurance special?
Yeah, so as First Assurance, we have, we have a really a legacy in this market. First, like I said, we have been in this market for close to 100 years. So we know the market. We're very experienced in this market. Second, we have truly a wide range of products. Like I've said, we cater for all the market segments, retail all the way to the very complex. So in terms of the product range, we have each and every product that a client out there would require. And then most importantly, we also structure insurance solutions to specific customers' needs. So we do not simply pull something off the shelf and sell it to you. We also want to find out what are those things that really mean the most to you. Yeah. What are the risks that you truly would want to have insured? Then we structure that cover for you, and you then get to pay premium that actually is sensible, and it is for the risks that you actually are interested in transferring to. So we are flexible. We can tailor make a product to an insurance, to a client's needs. So that flexibility is crucial for us. Then we have claim service that we have built over a long period of time. There are pain points that customers go through every time you have an incident. It's never, a client goes through distress. Yes. It's never something that anyone would look forward to. But what we have done is to break it down and simplify the process. Okay. So we've got, first of all, our process is now shorter. We have dispensed with all the tons of documents that we used to ask customers to provide when they get a claim. But then, apart from that, the simplifying the process of lodging a claim, once a claim has been lodged with us, we have very effective service providers who ensure that the customers are attended to, assets that have been damaged, motor vehicles are repaired within the shortest time possible to enable the customers to get back to the road. So we have invested in a simplified but an efficient process in attending to claims. Then finally, We have also continued to invest in our IT infrastructure, and while it is part of it is still work in progress, we are actually coming up with portals that will enable our customers to track the progress of their claims so that they do not feel frustrated. Most of the biggest frustration for customers is not knowing what is happening. Mm-hmm. So once they report a claim, they have handed in their damaged car, then everything seems to go quiet.
Yeah.
On our part, we know we are doing something about it, and we are actually having the car, let's say, repaired. But without these constant updates to the customers, mm-hmm. they just feel frustrated because they have no idea how long it would take them to get their vehicle back. So we've actually, we're coming up now with portals that will be availed to our customers so that they are now able to track the progress of their claim. But I think it will not be complete if I do not mention the experience that our customers go through, particularly on our health insurance side. Mm-hmm. First Assurance has got one of the most respected health card in this market. And I do compare a health card with a passport. Mm-hmm. I think if we were to compare the First Assurance card, it would rank possibly among the best or the strongest passports in the world.
The passport for hospitals.
Exactly, for hospitals. Yeah. We have a very strong support network in terms of specialists, hospitals, and all the support structure. And we have actually been able to deliver a great service, impeccable service to our customers. And I believe that based even on the awards that we got, on the Think Business Awards, we actually mm-hmm. got awarded as one of the best health insurance providers in Kenya.
Congratulations.
So, yes, indeed. Thank you. Yeah.
But quick question for you. How does that health insurance work? You know, specifically private health insurance. We're not talking about national
yes.
and such. How does that private health insurance work, you know, from a more back-end logistical perspective that maybe the end user doesn't really see?
Yeah. So the structure of the health insurance is such that we take away particularly the cost element from you as a client or from a family. So what then happens is that once you have secured our insurance cover, then we accord you access to hospitals, specialists, and all the facilities that you would require if you were to fall ill. And I think the most important part is that then you don't have to worry about paying for your medical expenses up front, because mm-hmm. that is usually the most painful thing for a family or an employee for that matter,
yeah.
When they fall ill. So we provide credit-backed services. So all that network that we have will provide the services and we'll pay them for those services rendered. But most importantly also is that our health insurance does not confine you to facilities or services within the country. If a patient requires medical attention outside the country, we actually have partners in India, South Africa, and wherever else that the specific service that is required is available. So actually our cover does allow patients to be treated even outside the country.
For extremely rare stuff, I'm assuming.
Exactly, because we do recognize that there are forms of treatment that either are not available locally or the best is not available locally, mm-hmm. and we are actually able to facilitate a patient to go out of the country
yeah.
for that treatment. So we take away the hassle from the patient, from the family, or from the employer of dealing with all these, the health service providers. So we deal with them ourselves, and we just ensure that you have a seamless service when you actually fall ill and you need all that peace and time to recover.
Okay. And while I was preparing for this interview, I came across this new health product that you guys have. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Indeed, we have come up with a specialized product from the SME sector. And Andrew, you will acknowledge that the Kenyan economy at the moment is largely driven by SMEs.
Yes.
In fact, upwards of 90% of registered businesses in Kenya are actually SMEs.
Mm-hmm.
And these SMEs have got very unique needs. And they have got their own ups and downs, they've got their challenges, which are unique to the SME sector. And we realized that having a product that cut across the SME and the big corporates disadvantaged the SMEs because of their unique nature. So we came up with a product that responds to their business, both in terms of the size,
mm-hmm.
the size of their employee, you know, the headcount that they have or the number of employees they have, and affordability of this product and their cash flow throughout the year. So the product that we have come up with is very specific to them because what then it does is that it is flexible. It is only provides cover for what is required by the SME. We've dispensed with a minimum number of members at entry. We've also relaxed the upper age limit so that instead of the normal 65 years being the upper age limit for entry into our schemes, these SMEs have got, you know, some of them are family owned. And the primary drivers of these SMEs are possibly people who are above 65 years.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that they can access this product. So we have ensured that all these barriers to access to health insurance, we have removed them for the SME sector. We also have ensured that the coverage itself is wide. There have been emerging needs, health issues are getting more complicated, they're getting more diverse. Mental health at the workplace has become a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the traditional policy excluded some of the things that mean a lot to some of these smaller businesses.
Yes.
So we have made this policy as wide as possible. We have made it family friendly also, so that aspects of the normal health insurance that you don't require, mm-hmm. you don't have to take them. Like if you have a workforce that is made up, let's say, of males, or maybe employees that are above the childbearing age,
yeah.
then you don't have to take, you know, for example, you don't have to take maternity care, for example. We have also just accorded the SME the flexibility that they need. The only thing you can't do is to take an outpatient cover on its own. But otherwise, you can structure your cover in whichever other way that you want.
So, Stephen, tell me a little bit more about this new health product your team has.
Yeah, so, Andrew, we've just come up with a very exciting product.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for the SME sector. And we've called that product First Afyan Biashara. And of course, that is just a play with the segment that it speaks to. It's a business segment. And that it is the first of its kind in terms of the flexibility of the product and the suitability for the SME sector.
Okay.
And the Kenyan economy now is largely driven by SMEs. 90% and above of the registered companies in this country are actually SMEs. So the SME sector also has its own very unique requirements, either because of the size of the business, the cash flow pattern through the year, and the number of employees. So the traditional policies required a high number as a minimum entry point for a corporate cover.
Okay.
But the First Afya Biashara can take in as low as 3 employees. We have also ensured that this policy is made affordable. And it's not cheap, but we've made it affordable because we're able to structure the product based on the needs of the SME.
Mm-hmm.
So that covers that are not required are taken out of this of the coverage. So only the most important or what the SME actually does require is priced into the product. So that then makes it affordable for the customer. Mm-hmm. Then traditional policies have got entry level in terms of age. We've relaxed that. So we can actually onboard much older members who are part of the SME establishment. We've also expanded the cover. So it's not just the normal cover. So most of the exclusions are, you know, related to mental health. You know, we've also expanded to make it more friendly to the family. Mm-hmm. We even cover fertility treatment or IVF. New emerging challenges in the workplace, like mental health, we've expanded this coverage to include that. So the costs related to substance abuse, requirement for rehab, is all covered under the first half year insurance. So it's a wide cover, it's affordable, it's well suited to the SME, and the cover itself can be structured based on the very specific needs of that SME. And I also want to mention that an SME that doesn't require some covers, and I used an example of an establishment that has got fairly older employees who are past childbearing, they don't need to take a maternity cover.
Yeah, so why charge them for it?
Yeah, exactly. So we get that part of the cover out so that they don't have to pay for a cover that they don't require. And then this cover also accords treatment in and outside the country. So it is, you know, it's backed up by specialist hospitals across the country, and where treatment is required out of the country, the patient can also be taken to any of the countries that offer that particular treatment.
Okay, and beyond, you know, this health product for SMEs, is there any other coverage you currently offer for SMEs, or where do you foresee kind of the future of that heading? You know, there's a million different types of SMEs.
Absolutely.
You know, a butcher shop, for example, a hardware store.
So yes, we actually have other specialized products catering for the SME sector. We have got a business combined policy that is specially designed for the SME sector also. So just to give you perspective in this, large corporates want to take very individual covers for each of their specific risks. Mm-hmm. But you see, an SME, the way it is structured, it requires a simple process. It requires a bundled product. It requires all those risks that are unique to an SME put into one cover. So we have actually a combined policy that takes care of the assets, it takes care of the employees, it takes care of the stocks, and all the other risks associated with a particular SME. So we actually have products, aside from the health, the first half year biashara, we also have business combined policies that are specific to the SME sector.
Okay. Now, I'm interested in, you know, stepping back from the first assurance conversation for a moment. Mm. I'm interested in you, you know, your career, your life's journey. What has led you to your current position as MD of First Assurance?
Yeah. So, Andrew, I think I cannot claim that I wanted to be an insurance expert in my early years. Just like any other Kenyan, I stumbled on insurance when I was at the university. I sort of liked it, and I thought it is an intriguing career. So I did study for insurance at the university, and straight thereafter, I joined the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. And I have had the privilege of working with some of the biggest brands in the market over that period. And I did my first years as a technical underwriter. But then, of course, later on, I went into relationship management, which is really a passion that I have developed. I think over time, I have enjoyed interacting with customers, giving them solutions to their unique problems. And it's really such a pleasure when you see a customer satisfied with the financial solution that you have given. Yeah. And considering the complexity that is associated with insurance, even though it's really a simple, in my view, a simple risk transfer mechanism, mm-hmm. it really is satisfying when you present or structure solutions to customers that then give them that peace to be able to, you know, carry on with their businesses and knowing that they are backed up by a solid insurance program. Mm-hmm. So I have done relationship management over time, but the last 10 years is when I took up the role of a chief executive. Mm-hmm. I was in the Tanzanian market for about 6 years. Where I was the MD of two of the leading insurers there. And that's where I honed my skills as a business leader. Mm-hmm. But for the last 3 years, I have been now the MD at First Assurance. And I must say it has been an exciting journey. Mm-hmm. It's always great to be back to your home market. This market is very vibrant compared to the rest of the East African markets. It's a complex market with a very unique risks, very unique needs. And it's been an exciting journey, you know, building this brand and then taking First Assurance to the next level.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Now I have two final questions for you today. Mm-hmm. They're not on the sheet, mm-hmm. but they're high quality questions. The first one is something I ask all of my guests.
Yeah.
What did you spend your first paycheck on?
Andrew, I honestly can't. I can't remember if I spent that paycheck on anything special.
Yeah.
But I do recall that, I had, mm-hmm. well, went out with my friends to just party because, yeah. Those were the early days and pay was not that great, but it made a lot of sense when I got my first paycheck. Painted the town red with my friends, courtesy of my first paycheck.
I did the same thing with mine. and I bought a suit.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, my last question for you is: if you were 18 years old again, what advice would you give yourself?
I think I would possibly advise myself to take life a bit easier, mm-hmm. enjoy a bit more, because I think I would possibly want to have more fun. When I look at my journey so far, I think focus is so much on career, mm-hmm. You know, performance at work, but life is bigger than that, and I think I would tell my younger self to take it a bit easy, enjoy more, and focus on the other important things out of the workplace as well.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, life is not just a career. Life Absolutely. Is a whole mosaic of different things.
Absolutely.
Stephen, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.